Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram Hashtag Kangaroos podcast, TikTok Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So, unfortunately, the girls couldn't get the job done yesterday through no fault of their own. They gave it absolutely everything they had. I couldn't be more prouder. I know Claire couldn't be more prouder. Our supporters couldn't have been more prouder for the effort yesterday and the joy they brought to us all season. Unfortunately, in a grand final, there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. And we're on the wrong end of it. It could have gone either way, to be honest with you. And just, you know, it comes down to luck sometimes. And I think it showed in the first 5 minutes of the game when Jenna Bruton got that Achilles injury that luck was not on our side early. So, yeah, unfortunately, we just couldn't get the win. Anyways, I was joined by my regular AFLW co-host or guest, however you want to call it, Claire Cozzi, to go through it. Obviously, tough to talk about, but you know, we want to be there for all your supporters, all your loyal supporters that have been through the journey. So we had to talk about it. We talked about list changes that might happen as well. And, yeah, a couple other things. And maybe a possibility of when Jenna Bruton might return as well. Anyways, let's not waste any more of your valuable time and bring on Claire to talk about it.
Well, Claire, dreams can become nightmares quite quickly. And we had one hand on the cup at three-quarter time. And within about a 10-minute period, it was stripped away, pretty much sucker punched. Losing grand finals are never easy, but this one seemed to hurt and probably a real lost opportunity in the end, Claire.
Yeah, pretty gutting. I won't mince my words here. It's fairly upsetting time. I think within a couple of days you can sort of reflect and look at the journey that they've been on and look at how incredible it is that they made the grand final, but I think for now, for most people, it's still a bit sore. It's too close. It stings a bit. But look, I think where I thought that we should have capitalised a little bit more was in that third quarter where we had a lot of ball running in. I know Sheila took that amazing mark and Aliso Lachlan got that amazing goal from that pure pressure tackle. But I thought coming into the last, there was two things. One, I was really worried about running out of petrol tickets and running out of legs with a mid-rotation down. And then I also thought to myself, if you, like, I don't know whether you realise, but that seemed to be the scoring end, that left-hand side. And I just thought that we probably need to be minimum two goals up, if not more, if we want to kind of win the grand final. And then, it all pretty much evaporated within the first 5 minutes of the last quarter, and I sort of turned to Dad as soon as they kick one. I said, they've got the momentum here. They've just lost the grand final. They know how to dig deep. They know how to do it. And then, you just kind of watched it unfold in front of you. And, look, it was a death by 1,000 paper cuts watching it kind of happen, and there's not much you can do, and I'm sure it'd be much more brutal for players like, Jenna Bruton, who had to sit there and watch. And it's not a lack of will or try. It's just Brisbane outplayed us and they were the better team at the end of the day. So pretty gutting, but, that's football. I guess we've ridden the real high highs of the prelim final and that massive final against the D's, and you kind of have to ride the lows now. But how are you feeling, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, gutting. I think, our biggest opportunity, like you said, came towards the end of, at the end of three-quarter time, where we got two goals in a minute, one through a Wayne Carey-esque mark from Kate Shearlaw, and then Aliso Lachlan kicked one, a hold on the ball, a decision against the Lions player. I can't remember the defender. In boxing terms, at that stage, we had them on the ropes, and we just couldn't get that one more punch to KO them. Mm-hmm. And the siren rang when we were peppering. And if we just got one more goal to go 13 points up, we might have been able to hang on in the last clear. Or do you think they still would have run over us?
No, I think 13 points is a pretty good buffer. I think one goal, just basically makes it even, Stephen, whereas two is a bit of a mountain to climb. And, you know, to quote Emma Carney, you never write off, you never underestimate the Lions. Yeah. They just find another gear. And, you know, I just thought their steely resolve and knowing how to finish a game, and they did it against Geelong, they did it against Adelaide. You know, they're a worthy premiership side. I think the frustrating thing for me was watching that a couple of their goals just seemed to be so fluky and lucky. Like the first one, I think it was Charlotte Mullins kicked this goal out of nowhere. And, of course, it got out the back and it raced through. And then I think Ulla O'Dwyer found herself in a goal side. And it was another just like, oh, I felt like their goals were really like fluky goals throughout the game until the last quarter where they really sort of got us. But up until then, I really thought that we'd earned all our goals and really had strived and put a lot of effort into preparing, getting the ball up the ground. But yeah, I mean, Brisbane were just a very, very good team. And they played a really well-rounded team performance as well. Like I didn't think of, apart from the captain having a pretty formidable game, I thought Courtney Hodder had 19 tackles, I think, as well, or 18. So I just think that they had a really well-balanced performance by everyone. I think your girl Dakota stood up when she needed to. And yeah, they just played a brand of football in which wins premierships. And I think, you know, it's a testament to the fact that they've been in 5 grand finals and now have won 2. And I'm hoping, I'm praying, Dean, that the same pain that they felt last year is something that we can reflect on and kind of use in 2024. But for now, it just kind of sucks, basically, you know?
Yeah, it definitely does. And, yeah, Davidson in the last quarter, she's a big game player. She loves the big moments. And, yeah, it took a couple really good marks, which you can't do much about. She just got her hands on the football and, you know, came through when it mattered. Unfortunately, she got through her fitness test through the week. If she didn't play, so they probably don't win, you know. So it's just little moments like that. I mean, like, for all the confidence I had, within the first 5 minutes when that Jenna Bruton injury happened, it sort of my confidence dissipated. Nothing against the rest of the girls. I just felt like Jenna's an important part of our team. You sort of seen that forward line. Yeah, it looked a lot slower when she wasn't there. She played a high half forward, and her entries are really good. And she just adds a bit of pace in that forward line. We looked a bit slow and a little bit one-dimensional. Yeah. I think that that might have cost us the grand final, really. I think the Bruton injury, if she doesn't get injured, I think we'll win that.
It's incredible how luck can be on your side for such a long part of the season. Like, apart from Bresh and Jenna having, you know, those injuries, Bresh obviously had a fairly decent injury with the groin and then kind of came back in just before finals. And then Jenna played most of the season. But it's funny how you can have such a healthy full list and have all the luck in the world, and then in the grand final first 5 minutes, you're just like, oh, my God. Yeah. We really missed her. Not only do you miss the class and the composure, the ball, the speed, but I just felt like the mid-rotations were a bit off. Like, it didn't seem like we got our best group together at all times because we were so worried about plugging holes. Like, I actually saw that Garner and Riddell were rotating for each other at some points of the game, which made me think, you know, and with all due respect, that's a double combo you want on the ball as much as often. So, yeah, it's just a bit disappointing that those things happen. And obviously Jenna, more than anyone, would be absolutely gutted with what's happened. And, you know, here's me at quarter time just Googling, you know, how long does it take for an Achilles injury to heal? Knowing full well, it's like, you know, obviously a year
12 or 12 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm very hopeful. My partner did their Achilles, so I'm really hoping that was a 9-month return. And I'm sort of like, well, can she get back for finals 2024? Who knows? But yeah, I guess at the moment it all just feels a little too soon and a little too raw. And I know people are feeling pretty gutted about the whole thing. So it's hard. It's hard losing grand finals. And if anyone knows, it's probably the Brisbane supporters who have been on the end of that for a while now. Hey.
Yeah, well, they've lost a few, haven't they? So that's their second win. They've been in five or something like that. So, yeah, sometimes you've got to lose one to, you know, get a couple, I guess. And that's what we're certainly hoping for. And the Jenna Brute injury, I mean, it's a brutal injury. I mean, it's not like a hamstring. All right, well, you miss the grand final. You're back for round one next season. You're back for pre-season. I mean, this is 12 months. I mean, this could be – this is pretty much all of our next season as well. And you sort of see how much influence she had in that prelim final. And to be honest, Claire, without her input in that prelim, I don't think we would have played yesterday without her.
Yeah.
That's how influential she was, and a very underrated player. And I think more importantly yeah, I think this hurts her personal life as well. I don't know what she does for work or anything like that, but this is, you know, these girls still have to have full-time jobs, and I don't think they realise the sacrifice they have to make, because in a men's program, well, you know, this is a full-time job, and, you know, you get your rehab and all that sort of thing, and you come back and play and you still get paid. I mean, I know the club will look after her, but, she's still got to get a paycheck, and, her partner Jasmine's not, you know, it doesn't work. She's pretty much a full time footballer at the moment, but it sort of puts a lot of pressure on in that regard. So yeah, no, it's it's a real big double whammy, and almost that probably hurts just as much as losing the grand final.
Yeah, it does. Like seeing the scenes from her, the bench and on the, you know, the crutches and everything like that, and as much of the dream kind of story would have been getting over the line for her. It felt like such a big, I know we were up at three quarter time, but I just never felt safe, and I never felt like it was truly, truly over. And yeah, it's a lot. I hope that, and I'd imagine being a really community minded club, that everyone's wrapped their arms around her. And I know that it would be quite difficult as an athlete to go through the process of not only watching your team then go play another season, do pre-season, but actually watching your partner do it as well. So,
yeah.
Like I said, I was Googling random Swiss 9 months Achilles heel. She could be back. I was being incredibly hopeful, and I think she'll go in for surgery ASAP, I'd imagine, given, the time period. But yeah, look, I'm not gonna lie to you, Dean, I'm weirdly invested in Jenna Bruton's recovery, because I just don't think you can win a flag without her. I think she's too important to the team, and I'm really hoping it's something like a 9 months, because you got to imagine, like, it depends on age, it depends on your fitness doing into it, and then it depends on your actually rehab as well. So I'm keeping a very optimistic approach, but I also am quite crazy right now and don't know what I'm saying and doing. I'm just in a kind of a cloud of sadness. So I'm just kind of hoping for good things, you know?
Yeah, I think, we'll talk about the positives and the season in a whole in a second. But, she did do a calf in pre-season. So I don't know if that made her Achilles a little bit weaker. Mm. I mean, it seemed like a bit of a – you know, freak thing. I mean, you look at the incident. I mean, she smothers a handball and she would have run onto it and going inside 50. And you know what she's like using the ball as well. You know, it's just sometimes it's just not meant to be, Claire. And it felt like the gods were against us, like the Adelaide Crows game a few weeks ago. So, yeah, sometimes it just doesn't go your way. And, it's still, it's a pretty good season, and to make a grand final is a special achievement. And, anything could happen in grand finals. We've seen it last year. Melbourne, were very much the big underdogs against the star-studded Brisbane Lions team. They had a much better, as far as quality of players last season, I think Brisbane had a lot stronger team, and they lost it last year. And, this year they sort of lost. They still got a good nucleus, obviously, but they got over the line and played some really good football when it mattered towards the end of the year. So yeah, it was a bit of a strange year for the Lions in a whole. Yeah. To be honest, they seem to struggle against the bad teams, but they beat all the top four teams, Claire.
Yeah, they seem to find another gear against them. I just feel like sometimes I watched the game against St Kilda and Collingwood and Richmond, and they seem to play kind of pedestrian football, almost as if, it's already in the bag, so why worry about it? And then they kind of get jumped, whereas they kind of find another level and another gear to push to when they play those top four teams. Or so, yeah, they're a very interesting side. And like I said, you're right. They're losing, you know, Greta Brodie, Wardlaw, you know, Bates and Lulu Puller, who didn't necessarily get named in the grand final team last year, but still, you know, adds that depth. And so, yeah, they've got a considerable list and didn't go over the line. So just goes to show that, you know, it's not necessarily a team of champions. It's a champion team that gets it done. So, you know, and I was pretty gutted last night, and I watched Carney's kind of presser, 5-minute roughly presser after the game, and she made some really good valid points of the fact that, you know, it's a very young list, apart from her and Kate Shealor. It's a very young list. They're very excited. They've signed up the talent. They'll be better for the experience of the grand final now. And they have all the, I guess, the evidence to quote Darren Crocker, the evidence to suggest that they belong there. And this is a place where they should now sort of aim for the next, you know, I guess, era of football within North Melbourne. And, you know, I don't necessarily think sometimes we had the best team, the best list, but I certainly think that we executed our game plan really, really well. And I think the thing that fell down in the grand final is that we executed it for three quarters, and then the last quarter we ran out of tickets, we ran out of petrol, we ran out of legs, and that was never more obvious when kind of the heads kind of went down after they scored the first couple of goals of the quarter, and it was just free-flowing kind of. It felt like every contest and every clearance Brisbane were winning it, and it felt like a confidence thing mixed with just complete and utter fatigue as well. So look, they'll be better for it. And like you said, you've got people like Gatt and, you know, Tess Craven at 19, Eric O'Shea, Lisa Lachlan, 22, Neve Martin as well. Very, very young list that can do some very exciting things. But yeah, just really does suck now. Really, really suck time.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a nucleus for a period of sustained success coming here. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we players like Amy Smith and Taylor Gatt, Tess Craven, Bella Eddy, and yeah, a number of others that you probably named. They're only going to get better. I mean, this isn't their peak, and our recruiting is generally really good. I mean, we plucked Eliza Shannon, a fringe player at Hawthorn. Lulu Puller, couldn't get in the grand final team from Brisbane. She's a very good player. I mean, Ruby Tripodi is another young girl as well that will probably get more opportunities next year. And we get Vicky Wall.
Vicky Wall's huge. Vicky Wall is such a big in. I was saying to my dad on the way to the game, I'm like, this is the best list that we've had. The only thing that I would change, the absolutely only thing, is I'd take Neve out and I'd have Vicky Wall. And that's all the list that we've ever had. That's from, you know, Kate Ashmore, Daisy Bateman. That's from Abbott Tangelo, all the way back to, you know, Britt Gibson back in the day when we're first playing. But this is the most perfect, well-shaped list. But I think I would have felt a little bit extra confident if we had a Vicky, we had a flown her from Ireland and chucked her into that half forward line. But yeah, Vicky Wall coming back will be absolutely huge, I think. She's got pace, she's got aggression. You know, if Bruton is out for a large chunk of the season, then it's about having a Vicky Wall or maybe a Tripodi even doing some midfield minutes and playing a specialist half forward come mid-roll. But yeah, you're right. There is a lot of upside. There's a lot to be excited about. And you're right, there's quite a nucleus. It's just for me, I'm quietly gutted for players like Carney and Shearlaw who are probably getting towards the pointy end of their careers. They're not, you know, they probably have 1 or 2 years. I know Carney's a competitive beast and touch wood, but she's been really gifted in her career in terms of injuries and things like that. So, you know, it's about making sure that Carney and Shearlaw, I think, are there in the next couple of years to make sure that they can lead the team and ideally win a flag, Dean. That would be the dream at the moment.
Well, there's only one place, you know, there's only one more step we can really take now, and that's the Union Premiership. We've made the grand final, and hopefully, you know, similar like the mid-90s for North Melbourne, we sort of got in the prelims for a couple of years, got a couple of heartbreaks against Geelong, where, Gary Ablett took that one-handed mark in 94. Lost a couple of others, and then we finally got a couple of flags there in 96 and 99. So there's certainly hoping for a sort of a period of around that mark where you can sort of, for the next 3 to 5 years, I think we'll get a couple of flags, to be honest with you. So now, We have the trade period coming up next week, I believe, Claire. Some players are going to have to be let go. Do you think the team needs anything in particular? I mean, we talked about Vicky Wall. Do you think we, I couldn't think of any names or anything like that, but do you think we need a bit more pace in the team or anything like that, or something possibly?
Well, it's hard, Dean, because when you really think about it, my dub was going to town on the half forwards. Like, you know, they're not playing in front, they're getting beaten. You've got to remember, like, you know, Brisbane's half backs played an incredible game, and up until that point, North Melbourne made a grand final based on the exact list that we have. So, in terms of Stedford changes, I wouldn't do much to the, apart from obviously Bruton being out. I think if Gavalis, Tripodi put in pretty big pre-seasons, Vicky Wall as well, that'll be quite competitive. Trying to get that half-forward role that Bruton plays, I think will be really important. I'm not entirely sure what we're missing from the jigsaw puzzle. I think the backs have been incredible. I felt pretty bad for Fergie and Sarah Wright in that last quarter. They've just had such an amazing season, and it kind of all collapsed in that last 10 minutes or so. But I don't know. Like, without rating, there is some rumours going around that Elise Parker from GWS is shopping herself around Melbourne clubs, which is...
She's a good player too, yeah.
Yeah, she's a gun. I don't know where she'd fit in that midfield with Riddell, King and Garner. She's not going to kick out.
No, she wouldn't get it. Yeah, she wouldn't probably fit in there,
But, yeah, I did hear some pretty heavy rumours going around. And apart from that, there's nothing really on the market that's tantalising to me. There's nothing, I don't think, you know, we could go the draft and you know, you're not going to have immediate success at the draft, I think, with an 18 or 19-year-old. So, you know, we got obviously the Pooler and we got Eliza Shannon. So if there's the masterminds behind Arden Street, if they know something more than we do and they're able to kind of grab a piece of the jigsaw puzzle in the trade period, that would be fantastic. But for me, I don't see any immediate positions. I mean, I guess someone for Carney in the next, you know, training someone for Carney in the next 2 years or so, playing that halfback general role. But then you got to think about, like, you know, Bresch could probably do that, and Erica O'Shea, and there's some players that can step up there. But yeah, there's no one immediately I think of. What about you? Is there anyone that you kind of looking or on your radar?
I don't mind that Brennan from Richmond. She got delisted. She's got a bit of time, but I was surprised by that.
Wait, no, not Katie Brennan. Katie Brennan.
No, it wasn't Katie Brennan. It was the other one, wasn't it?
Oh, who is it?
It might have been Katie Brennan.
No way they're dropping Katie Brennan. She's their marquee, like, key forward. She's her and Conti are the most important members of that team. I think, are you talking about one of the Hoskings?
Oh, it might have been Hosking. Yeah. No,
they're flogs, mate. We don't want them.
I don't mind her, actually, as a bit of a depth player. Hosking. She's got a bit of aggression about her. So, yeah, no, I don't know what I was thinking with Brennan, but no, it wasn't her.
I'd take her in the key forward for sure if she was available. But
I don't think they'll be looking at any individual player. I know you mentioned Parker from GWS, but I don't think she'd come across. I mean, she should be a fringe player almost. Like, she's a good player at GWS, but, you know, she wouldn't be, you know, best four midfielders, I don't think, at our club. So, I think you just keep, you know, like, like the thing it is, we only use 24 players this season. Yeah. So, you know, I think some players will have to look for opportunities elsewhere. I think Gavalis, I think she'll be let go, unfortunately.
Okay.
Because you got Tripodi, you get Vicky Wall back. I don't see an opportunity for her next year.
Probably might seek somewhere else before she gets let go as well. She might go to a Collingwood. I know Grace Campbell went there last season. She could easily play a role at, you know, walk into a Carlton, St Kilda, those sort of clubs. So, yeah, I wouldn't wish her anything but luck there. I'd be a bit gutted for her because I do love Gav. But, it makes sense for her to – even Charlie Granville as well. I don't know how.
I think, her, Sophia McCarthy – Hannah Bowie, you know, good solid footballers, but they're going to probably have to look for opportunities elsewhere. They can't sort of sit around and just wait for injuries to happen. Unfortunately, they'll probably have to, you know, be like, oh, I really like Charlie Greenville. I think she's good forward. She can't wait around, you know. Nah. I mean, yeah, she's well down the pecking order. So, yeah, unfortunately, this makes Darren Crocker and the rest of the list management team, it makes it pretty tough for them over the coming days as well. As if losing a grand final isn't bad enough, you kind of got to let some of these players go and, tell them that maybe they should look for opportunities elsewhere. But, we'll sort of see how we go. Now, what did you think of about the farce of the AFLW Best and Fairest last week? I like Sarah Wright's tweet and wearing high vis for Jemmin because I don't think the umpires can see it. I mean, the Brisbane game was a classic example. Kathy Svark had 8 touches at 38% disposal efficiency, got 3 votes. Emma King, who played well against the Cats, got 3 votes, but she wasn't best on ground. I mean, it was clearly Jasmine Garner that day. I mean, she won us the game, so it's a bit of a farce, isn't it?
Yeah, I was talking to a mate, and it seems like it seems like it's devolved now, and it's kind of like almost like a running joke. And I think the AFLW award now for me, and I think maybe for AFLW fans and even the players, they probably know deep down it's not the most highest accolade that you can kind of achieve in the league now. I still think it's a best and fairest in a flag year. So whoever wins the best and fairest, I think, at Brisbane this year would be a pretty formidable award. And then, obviously North's best and fairest with the runners-up. But then the MVP award and the coaches' awards and things like that, I think, hold a bit more merit because, it's a universal thing. Like, I thought I was going crazy, but I was messaging a couple of friends who play in the league, one from St Kilda, one from Cats, one from Collingwood, and I said, am I crazy? Look, I know I'm biased. I know I wear really big, I'm very, very dedicated to North, but is this wild? They're like, nah, it's a joke. Like, everybody Marinoff saying something halfway through the vote as well. Yuck, the players know. So I think it's at the moment, I think, and I was wildly texting you at the time, just furious. Yeah. And you have to calm me down and say, Claire, she doesn't care anyway. Like, she's not about individual awards or anything like that, so it doesn't matter. But, I think internally they know how important she is and the role she plays. And I just wish that she could, when she does choose to retire from the game, I just hope that she knows how much she gave to the game as well and how much we as fans love her. Not even just North fans. I think everyone kind of adores Jasmine. She steps up and kicks the first goal of the grand final. She kicked 2 and had 24 possessions, couple of tackles, some clearances. I don't know, Conan from Lions, played a great game and obviously the captain's goal and everything. But, if North get over the line there, 100% Jazzy wins the Norm Smith as well. So it's just, I feel for her, but I think deep down, I don't know whether she cares or not. So that's kind of good. But, how do you feel about it all?
I wasn't surprised at the time when it was happening. I think I was expecting Ash Riddell to steal a few votes from her, and it's good that she came second overall. But I just wanted to win the premiership. That was what was my concern. I didn't care about that sort of stuff. And I'm sure she doesn't care. It seems like she doesn't care. And you sort of even seen the room when she was getting 3 votes in the last 2 rounds. They sort of gave her a big roar. So she's very well loved by people within. And she got the Players Award. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. And I don't. Yeah, it seems destined that she's not going to win one. So, we'll sort of see. But she would have to be our favourite for our BNF on Thursday evening, wouldn't she? Her and Ash Riddell.
Yeah. You'd pretty much lock those two in, you'd say. I think they'll – and I think that's – I honestly think she'll probably care about more than anything. I think that will be a really wonderful thing. I know Kane in the past has been able to hand her the award and give it to her. So, it's important to be recognised, especially amongst your peers and people who you admire and you play with. So hopefully she's able to get that best and fairest on Thursday and round out what's been a really terrific season. And it has been a really great season. Yeah. There's no denying that. I think about how gutted I am now, but you know, I compare it to how elated and euphoric it was to win against the D's, and then when it's against that the Crows by 1 point, like that feeling of just complete and utter joy is something that, you know, will live with me forever, and I'm incredibly proud of what this football club has been able to achieve. And I think it's united a lot of North supporters. We've been flat for quite a bit of time, and this women's program has really given us a reason to kind of go to games, to rock up and to believe in something. And I think as amazing as a flag would have been, I think what they've been able to give us this season has not even been tangible. I know it sounds really strange, but what they've been able to give us, you can't put into a flag or a cup or anything. It just feels like it's bigger than that in a way. And, you know, that's really special as well. So it's nice to feel united and galvanised by something that is bigger than you. And it was a really, really special week, grand final week, with all the videos, all the emotion. And, you know, we'll always have that, regardless of what happens in the future, regardless of we play off next year or next couple of years. I'll kind of never forget the lead up of grand final week and of our first kind of tilted AFLW flag and how special it was for us. So, yeah, feels good.
Yeah, it's a bit torturous, the grand final week, just waiting all week for the game. Yeah. And the club were fantastic, you know, getting Erica O'Shea's parents to come down. And, yeah, they did it with Nima Martin as well last week. And, yeah, and just, yeah, the president with her words as well with that little video. Yeah. It was really nice. So, yeah, no, they did really well, the club. And they, you know, they made it feel special for them, which is the most important thing. Because they, yeah, like we talked about with the AFLW program, yeah, there's still a lot of people that don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we certainly do. Our club does. And we're very fortunate that a president, you know, certainly takes it seriously. And, yeah, me and you take it seriously. And, you know, the loyal, staunch supporters. But, yeah, there's still a lot of, people that don't. So that's all you can ask for at the end of the day. And hopefully, like you said, it brought us a lot of joy as supporters this year. So that's the most important thing. And we took a lot of steps. Yeah. Even though it's hard to see now, we did, yeah, especially in finals, we took a lot of steps, and that was the most important thing. We beat Smash Melbourne, which is as good as a flag.
In a lot of ways, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's seeing Kate Shearer burn off Libby Birch was something. It still burns in my memory. So
having Kingy kick that goal to ice it, I just think that Jenna Bruton's third quarter in the prelim, you know, all those goals at Arden Street when we played Port Power there, there were some really magnificent. Even when we came back against Geelong down at Alphabet Soup Stadium, God, I hate that stadium. But I just thought they were. I can't wait. I think on Thursday they'll put together a highlight package of the year, and it'll be really, really nice to watch everything kind of come together. Because realistically, an incredible season, an inspiring season. Just 10 minutes of a season can kind of ruin it. But it hasn't ruined it all, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the ride and the growth that this team has shown. And yeah, like you said before, you know, some people don't take it seriously, and others, I feel like I've spoken to 10 people that have bought AFLW memberships. You know, that so many people that I know have reached out and said, I'm on board. Like, I really want to be a part of this. And, you know, it's really, really wonderful to watch that, because, like you said, there's people like us that have fought for this and continue to fight for the validity of AFLW. And it feels like people are jumping on board. And that in itself is a success. That's kind of like winning a flag as well, as getting people that maybe wouldn't have tuned in, getting them to see the value of how amazing our women are, and how wonderful it is to be a part of it all.
Yeah, definitely. And we look forward to, 2024 and many more good memories to come. Well, Claire, I want to be mindful of your time. Did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
I just think, Dean, thanks so much for sharing this. It's something that I've looked forward to each week coming on and having a bit of a yarn with you about everything. It's like you said, you know, pain shared is halved, but then joy shared is doubled. And, you know, it's nice to get on and have a chat with you. And like I said, it's nice to have you support fundamentally from the grassroots up this program and have all those different players on each week. And I love downloading it into my Spotify and going for a run and listening to Bella Eddy or Sarah Wright or Jasmine or anyone it may be. And it just shows how, you know, authentic, I guess, these women are and how exciting it is to get around them in 2024. So thanks for your time. And as always, Flag Ruse 2024, get around them.
Yeah, sounds good, Claire. In the words of Ted Lasso, the only thing worse than being sad is being alone and sad. At least we have each other and the North community to be sad together and be grateful for that. So, yeah, thanks so much for the journey this season, Claire. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, I always look forward to the chats, like you said. And, yeah, I can't wait to chat more to you when the AFLW kicks off next year as well.
Sounds good. Let's hope Jenna Bruton can find an Achilles tendon during that time and she'll be back out round one, praying, absolutely praying for us, manifesting.
So thank you very much to Claire Cozzi for coming on the last time for the 2023 season. It's been a pleasure, like I mentioned to her, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun and something I've looked forward to throughout the course of the year chatting with Claire about the AFLW program. We're certainly hoping we can take that one more step next season and win a premiership. Anyways, that's it for today. I don't know if I'll do another episode this week. I do one later this week if I do. I'm not even sure what I'll do, but yeah, I didn't think much past the AFLW grand final. So yeah, mate, I'll definitely keep going weekly at the moment. So yeah, if I'm not back this week, I'll do another one next week. I might even do another Get to Know You episode with one of my co-hosts. So like I said, that's it. Tonight, I will leave a shout-out to Jenna Bruton. Hopefully, she's recovering. She is at, I think it's Mad Monday, with the girls. I did see on Instagram she did put up a post, so hopefully she's doing okay. So I'll leave a shout-out for her, and hopefully she's in a good mental place, and as well as her family and friends, and obviously Jasmine Garner as well. I'm sure she'll she feels the pain as well, with her, lovely partner as well. So, I'm not too sure what I'm saying at the moment. I'm rambling, so I better leave you all to it and to enjoy the rest of your week. So bye for now and go Ruse.